So the title of the talk is offences, and not those ones that are in paddocks. Let's go to Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9. Let's see what the Bible says. Mark chapter 9 and verse 38. Mark 9, verse 38. And John answered him, saying, Master, we saw one casting out devils, in thy name, and he followeth not us. And we forbade him, because he followeth not us. But Jesus said, Forbid him not, for there is no man which shall do a miracle in my name that can lightly speak evil of me. For he that is not against us is on our part. For whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name, because you belong to Christ, verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward. So that's an interesting concept, and I've noticed that for those that are preaching the gospel, even though or preaching Jesus and teaching people about Jesus and God, and even though they may not know the truth, or preach the truth that we know of, it certainly makes our job easier if someone at least understands a little bit about God and Jesus, because I've tried to witness to someone who had no comprehension of Jesus and God, and I thought, man, laying that foundation down. So that's why Jesus says, for he that is not against us is actually on our part, helps us out a little bit. And then, I don't know if anybody's been door knocking and someone offers you a drink of water, it's really nice of them. They know we represent Christ, that there is some sort of reward that they'll get from that appreciation for workers for the Lord. But then it goes on to verse 42 and says, And whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me, it is better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he were cast into the sea. And if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter halt into life than having two feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into hellfire, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. For every one shall be salted with fire, and every sacrifice shall be salted with salt. Salt is good, but if the salt have lost his saltness, wherewith will you season it? Have salt in yourselves and have peace one with another. So these aspects here, little ones that believe in me, saints that believe and follow in the things of the Lord, little children of the Lord, that God's chosen. And it says, if anyone offends one of these little ones, it's better if they're a millstone were hanged about his neck and were cast into a sea. That's how precious God sees his chosen people, his saints, that if someone offends them, makes their walk wobble a little bit. It's not good. And then it goes on to a personal thing. There's the hand, the foot, and the eye. So the hand, if you're doing things take you away from the kingdom of God, or your focus away from the kingdom of God, you're better off cutting that out of your life. If you're looking at things with your eye, you're better off that offend your walk and your relationship with the Lord. You're wise in what you choose to read. You're wise in what you choose to watch, whether it be on TV or on the internet or whatever. You're better off cutting that off and leading a life, halt, as it says, halt, missing out in life, than ending up elsewhere in hell, as it says. And then the other one was the foot. You know, if you're going places that takes you away from worshipping the Lord, you know, you're better off cutting that out, cutting off that desire than ending up in hellfire, you know, and missing out on something in life. You're better off so that you you have a close relationship with the Lord. And then, of course, this little passage ends with salt, you know, that we'll be salted with fire, you know. We'll all have trials to go through because that's life, for one, but also it's the Lord uses that to his benefit, that we're all salted with fire. So dross is burnt off. All our sacrifices are salt, purified with salt. And then it says at the end, Jesus is encouraging us all to have salt in ourselves and have peace one with another. Because if we have peace one with another, that means offences are deleted because we're at peace one with another. And so it's quite a little passage here that Jesus is encouraging his followers to indeed get rid of offences. Number one, stop offending others, especially the children of the living God, and also get rid of offences that get in the way of our close relationship with the Lord so that we can have peace one with another. Now, there's another account in Matthew chapter 18, which is slightly different. Matthew 18, and we'll start in verse 1. So Matthew chapter 18, verse 1, it says, "At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst." And we understand that. We heard it in testimony, you know, the simple gospel, you know, something that a child can follow, and also for us to have that childlike mindset. "Set this child in the midst of them as an example," says in verse 3, "and said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." As a little child, humbling ourselves to the word of God as being supreme, even. That's quite a word, isn't it? Supreme. Supreme in our life. Like a little child, and then you're lifted up as being like the greatest in the kingdom of heaven, or the greatest relationship with the Lord and trust in the Lord. Verse 5, "And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me," or is kind to that person, guides that person, helps that person. Verse 6, "But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depths of the sea. Woe unto the world because of offences, for it must needs be that offences come, but woe to that man by whom the offence cometh." Okay, so offences, you could look into this verse in probably some prophetic ways. But let's look at it that, you know, this world is made up of human beings that do things that are offensive. And so what it's saying, look, offences must come. It's something that happens in life, you know. Offences happen. People are offended as well. And these things must happen, it says there. But then it says, "But woe to that man who is the vessel through which the offence comes." Like, woe to that man who ends up offending the child, as Jesus is saying, the child that believes in him. Verse 8, "Wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed, rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life with one eye, rather than having two eyes to be cast into hellfire. Take heed that you despise not one of these little ones." Despise not one of those little children that have a mindset of a child following Jesus Christ. Don't despise them. For I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father, which is in heaven. For the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. Okay? The Lord came to find those who were lost and to bring them into his fold, that they are no longer lost. And for us as God's children, not to despise one of those little ones. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 32. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 32. Just simply says here, give none offence. You know, being careful not to offend. Neither to the Jews, you know, the religious people of the world, or to the Gentiles, those that are far from God, you know, and lead a different life to those that even pretend to follow God, nor the church of God, which is the church of God is the kingdom of God. It's the spirit-filled church. You could say the revival fellowship is a part of that church of God. So give none offence to anyone. Those that are religious, non-religious, or those that are a part of the church of God. Verse 33, even as I please all men in all things. So Paul's saying here he's careful in not offending. He's careful to cut things out of his life that may cause offence to his own relationship with the Lord. Not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. You know, there's a softness about that. You know, not seeking mine own profit, like not winning the argument or not proving that you're better or you have a more holy life and all that sort of stuff. You're not seeking your own profit, but we're seeking that they may be saved. They may be there when Jesus returns. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Second Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 1. We then, as workers together with him, and we understand that, we've been called together in unity as the body of Christ. We all have different roles and all those sorts of things, but we're all the body and no one should be despised thought of as little. We then, as workers together with him, as a team with the same goal, beseech you, plead with you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. Okay? We've been saved by grace, so let us continue. Otherwise, if we do not continue, we've received the grace of God in vain then. It was vanity to us. Verse 2, for he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succoured thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Giving no offence in anything, that the ministry be not blamed. Okay? So here, now, we have another reason to not offend. In anything, is that the ministry be not blamed. The ministry is upheld as being a pure ministry of a people that are guided by God. Verse 4, but in all things, okay, that's a lot of things, in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers, or another word for ministers is servants of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labours, in watchings, in fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, or without hypocrisy, You know, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts, and the love of God sent his own son to die for a people who hated him. And so love, the love of one another is important, unfeigned, you know, like completely without hypocrisy. It's upfront, it's genuine acceptance of the fellow saints in the kingdom of God, that indeed we can continually prove that we have received the grace of God not in vain. Romans chapter 9. If you want to read what's vanity, read Ecclesiastes. But we don't want the to receive the grace of God in vain. We want to continually prove how gracious God is, and for us to have that simple joy of being a part of his work. Romans chapter 9 and verse 20. So that's Romans chapter 9 and verse 20. Nay, but, O man, who art thou that repliest against God or argues with God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Oh dear. Who's done that to the Lord? Why did you make me this way? Yep, I have too. Like, why did you do that, Lord? I'm sure a lot of us have had that opportunity in our life. But the Lord's saying, look, it was up to him. It was his wisdom that framed us the way we've been framed. Verse 21, hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honour and another unto dishonour? Okay, he has that choice. He can form of clay a vessel of honour or a vessel of dishonour. What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction? So the vessels to dishonour, you know, with patience. He formed these vessels of dishonour that he may show his power and prove his long-suffering. So there was a purpose also in the eyes of the Lord. Verse 23, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto glory. So these are vessels of honour, vessels of mercy, another way of saying it. And he'd prepared them beforehand unto glory. Okay? Even us. Okay? We are the vessels of honour. And what the Lord's saying is we should be the vessels of honour, vessels of mercy, recipients of God's mercy that prepared unto glory. Even us, whom he hath called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. As he saith also in Hosea, I will call them my people, which were not my people, and her beloved, which was not beloved. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there shall they be called the children of the living God. So I read that, those last three verses there. It's like these vessels, which we were vessels of dishonour. But then, because we were not beloved, we were not his people, we're a people of the Gentiles, we were vessels of dishonour, rejecting the ways of the Lord. But he, by his grace, that we hold so precious, and we do not hold it in vain, he has then made us a vessel unto honour, that we are beloved, we are his people, and indeed his chosen people. So he changed this vessel of dishonour into a vessel of honour. And the Lord wants us to carry on as a vessel of honour, otherwise we then hold on to his grace as if it's being vain. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse 42. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 42. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption or dishonour. It is raised in incorruption or honour. It is sown in dishonour. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam, who's Jesus Christ, was made a quickening spirit or an enlivening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual. You know, Adam was a natural man, but that which is natural. And afterward, that which is spiritual. So first of all, Adam was the natural man, but afterward, Jesus Christ is the spiritual. Just like us, we led a natural life, a life of dishonor, following the natural man. But afterward, we lead a spiritual life of honor, following the spiritual man. Verse 47, the first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we do, we look at each other, we can see with our natural eyes the earthy tabernacle of everyone. We're born the image of the earthy, the image of Adam even, which embodied sin. And then it says, with that same logic, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly, that spiritual heavenly of purity and honour, you know, and glory and mercy. That's the image that the Lord sees in us. And he's encouraging us to see that also in other children of the living God. Penultimate scripture, 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 19. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. You know, that's constant. It will not move. Having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honour and some to dishonour. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honour, sanctified and meet or worthy for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes or arguments. You know, sometimes people like to stir the pot and just let it be. You know, you don't need to respond. Verse 24, and the servant of the Lord must not strive or argue, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, you know, or guiding those that are doing things that adversely impact their relationship with the Lord. You know, meekness, humility, instructing, guiding, that they may cut off the hand or cut off the foot or pluck out the eye that offends their relationship with the Lord. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. You know, and we're not ignorant of his devices. You know, the Lord opens our eyes and we can see that. But here, you know, it talks about in verse 20, vessels of honour and to dishonour. And we want to be vessels of honour in God's household. Yes, there is a place in the household for vessels of dishonour that the Lord uses to his advantage. But he wants us to be vessels of honour. And even in our own tabernacle, in our own life, what it says in verse 21, purge himself from aspects of dishonour from our own lives, our own attitude. Purge our attitude of dishonourable things, that we may be a vessel unto honour, sanctified, separate, and worthy of the Master's use. That's what the Lord wants. That's the whole refining, you know, being salted with fire, as we read, and that sanctified by salt, purified by salt, peace, meekness, and joy before the living God. And then as I read after that, you know, just advice on various aspects for us to indeed follow. Matthew chapter 5 to finish up. Matthew chapter 5, verse 38. Matthew chapter 5, verse 38. Ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. In other words, that person did that to me, so I'm going to do it back at them. But I say unto you that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee but at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbour and hate thine enemy, which is a natural thing. But we are not meant to be naturally minded, we're meant to be spiritually minded. Verse 44, but I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same, or the those that don't follow God, they do the same thing? They are, it's a natural thing for those that love you, you love them back, you know. But the Lord's asking us to step above that. We're different. We're not like everyone else that aren't following the Lord. The Lord wants us to have a completely different mindset, to be set aside from that. So yeah, it's common to all men to love them that love you. But we're saying, well, the Lord's saying, well, whoop-de-doo. Everyone's like that. Verse 47, and if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? What do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. So we are meant to be, that's what perfection is. Like, the Lord's encouraging us to be perfect as he is perfect, to find a way to love our enemies, find a way to turn the other cheek, find a way to indeed do good to our enemies, even pray for those that despitefully use us or persecute us, because it's easy to do good to those that do good to you. It takes a special human being who is full of the Holy Ghost, built up in the Spirit, to do good to those that don't do good to you. And so that's what the Lord's encouraging us to do. So the title of this talk is offensive. Offenses. Number one, the Lord tells us outright, do not offend. Don't offend. However, there's the flip side. If you are offended, you know, don't offend back. Be polite back. Be nice back. Salute back. Pray back. Help back. You know, so there's these aspects. In the natural, it's you fight fire with water. You don't fight fire with fire, because it ends up worse. So great advice in the scriptures to be a vessel of honour, and even that last verse there, be perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. Okay, thank you.